Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. To roll out the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings over there, but hey, you should still swing by to see what's going on during the week. You know, what the heck, why not? Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link and get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. You heard Mr. Fantasy yesterday. He just doesn't care. But Dan and I would greatly appreciate it. There's also the Twitter feed. Don't forget that. You know by now, it's at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z-Man with three.
All right, Dan. Well, we finally got the most important signing of the baseball offseason, and I couldn't be happier. It's about time, Dan. You know, I've been waiting for this, and it finally happened. Aren't you excited?
The third baseman for the Cardinals?
No, that's not exciting. So
we got 6 years.
Yeah, I know, and we'll get to that. But the most important signing of the offseason, Ichiro going back to the Mariners on a 1 year deal.
Nice.
You know, they've actually had some outfield injuries. They just lost Ben Hamill for probably 6 weeks with an oblique strain. Mr. Fantasy guy from last year, Mitch Haniger, has been dealing with tendonitis in his hand. That's got to be fun. And then Guillermo Heredia is still recovering from shoulder surgery. So they needed some outfield depth. You know, he's actually taking his physical, so he should be fine. You know, as everybody knows, you know, he played his first 12 years of his career with the Mariners, and, you know, he won all the awards there, you know, Rookie of the Year, MVP, you know, multiple-time Gold Glover, and, of course, multiple-time All-Star. So he's returning after what? He was gone 13, 14, 15, 16, about five and a half years he returns to Seattle. You know, obviously he'll be, a fourth outfielder, a limited-type player, but I'm very happy he went home, Dan. It makes me very excited.
I mean, with him going back to Seattle, do you think this is it?
You know, it's so hard to tell because he keeps talking like he wants to keep playing. You know, I mean, he's 44. You know, he won't be 45 till, you know, the season is over. He's still a top defensive outfielder. He can play all three positions. I guess, you know, as long as he's willing to take smaller contracts, you know, like last year with the Marlins, he played for $2 million. I can't assume he's getting much more than that from the Mariners. You know, contract terms weren't announced. You know, you got to think teams are going to be willing to take a chance on him. You know, I remember asking you earlier, you know, the Cubs signed Peter Borges to be their fourth outfielder. Wouldn't you have rather seen Ichiro as their fourth outfielder?
Yeah, that would have been fun, actually. Make the rounds throughout
baseball. You know, I mean, like, I know Borges is a solid defender, but he's a poor hitter. You know, and I mean, Ichiro's a better hitter than he is and probably the equal of a defender. So, you know, I mean, I'm sure they probably got Borges cheaper, and I know it was the minor league deal with the invite to spring training, and, you know, I don't know if Ichiro would have accepted something like that. You know, maybe. I mean, in the situation he was in. But, you know, I'm like I said, I'm just excited. You know, he's good for the game. You know, he's always seems like a good dude, and you know, it's good that he's back in Seattle. You know, hopefully he'll be able to hang around a little bit and you know, maybe get another season or two out of him. So.
But you think he's? I mean, I forget who's the oldest guy, but I mean, as of late, the oldest one would have been. Jimmy Moyer at 51, do you think he can go another 6-7 years?
You know, I don't know as a position player if, you know, they can hang around that long because, you know, there doesn't seem to be that much interest. You know, Julio Franco hung around for a long time, you know, because he could still hit and teams would use him as a DH. I don't know, you know, Ichiro's hitting has kind of declined. I don't know if maybe it's because of the lack of regular playing time, but yeah, you know, you just, you know, I think he said he'd like to play till 50. He may do it, but it may be in Japan. I don't know how many more years he's got left in Major League Baseball. You know, obviously he'll get this one. You know, maybe he sneaks in another one or two, depending on how it goes, but I don't see him getting there. It just doesn't happen here. Oh, let's see. Yeah, you mentioned the Cardinals did make a signing. They not a, a free agent signing, but they wrapped up one of their own guys here. They signed Paul DeJong. Let me see what we got here. It looks like the deal is going to be for $26 million over 6 years.
Yep.
So, and, you know, interesting, you know, DeJong is just 24. I didn't realize he's actually from Illinois. He you know, played high school baseball in Antioch at the Illinois State University. So he's a local guy, but just, you know, they tied him up after just 108 games in the majors. I mean, he was good last year, you know, 285 with 25 bombs and 65 RBIs. You know, played a little shortstop, played a little second base. I think they're looking at him as a third baseman this year, I think, is where he's going to end up.
Yeah, they have him projected in.
So, yeah, and I think he finished second to Cody Bellinger. Yeah, he finished second to Cody Bellinger in the Rookie of the Year voting. So,
oh, wow.
You know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, it wraps him up. Is it through his arbitration years now? Is that how that wraps him up?
Well, let me go back 1 second. One site I have, MLB.com, projected lineup. I have him at shortstop with Jed Yorko at third. So, but with the signing, I think he's being signed as a third baseman. And then he's the unrestricted free agent after the 2025 season. So he's signed through age 31.
So he'll be tied up there with the, you know, the Cardinals for a while. And, you know, I know they've been doing this quite a lot lately with their guys. I got to hunt down my depth chart here and see what they have them projected as. So let's see as I, where'd it go? Come back depth chart. There it is. Oh, all right. Yeah, they have them projected as a shortstop here too. They have Matt Carpenter at third, though, not Jed Jerko. They have Jose Martinez playing first base. So, we'll see how it works out. You know, I know the Cardinals, you know, they've been tying up a lot of their, you know, a lot of their young players, you know, I know they.
If you think about it, you know, if his career takes off, they're going to have a great guy through 2026 or, you know, through the 2025 season, which, I mean, seems far away, but I guess isn't really that far. So if he turns out to be great, I mean, they're going to have low money on the books. And, you know, if he becomes a complete bust, I mean, they'll have low money on the books because you're looking at an average of – $4.3 million a year. So,
Yeah, and you know they tied up Colton Wong to a 5-year deal just a season or two ago. You know, they also tied up Matt Carpenter and Carlos Martinez. You know, they did hook up Stephen Piscotty with a long-term deal. He didn't do as well as I think a lot of people expected, but, you know, people forget he was dealing with a whole bunch of family issues. So you got to wonder if that really affected his game. We'll see how he does in Oakland now that he was traded and, you know, he's closer to his ailing mother. We'll see if he plays a little better. The only one, you know, that didn't really work out for them was, you know, they signed Alan Craig to a long-term deal. You know, after he had, I think he had a big, it was either a big World Series or a big playoffs or something. And he just tanked. You know, there's no other way to look at it. You know, they locked him up and he went straight down the crapper. But, you know, they were able to ship him off to Boston. I got to look and see what the deal was because I don't remember what they got in return. Did they get a... he went in the John Lackey deal. They got John Lackey back. So, but yeah, you know, he washed out with the Red Sox. He did sign with the Padres, so maybe we'll see Alan Craig back in the majors at some point in time. But yeah, out of their long-term deals they handed out, that was the only one that didn't really pay any dividends.
No, and you know, when you look at it, I should have brought up Colton Wong's deal, but you know, you pretty much got the infield locked. So with the 3 years remaining on Dexter Fowler's contract, it doesn't really, whether you like him or hate him, it doesn't really put a huge negative on their payroll.
Oh, how could you hate Dexter Fowler? Jeez.
I don't. I just don't like him as much as everyone else thinks he is.
Yeah, you know, I honestly think they overpaid.
Yeah.
So my opinion. You know, I think that contract got a little carried away and they ended up paying him a lot more money than what he was worth. But hey, you know, that's not his fault. So, you know, but yeah, I'm trying to, do they have I think is Ozuna their only, well, you know, I know Carlos Martinez isn't close to it yet, but is Ozuna their only arbitration eligible guy?
I think so. I was just about to pull it up right now. I mean, Yadier and Adam Wainwright have, you know, the two biggest contracts on the team. Jed Yurko's arbitration 3-year. I just had it. Oh, yeah, he's only in arbitration, too. So, no, they still have a handful of guys that are pre-arbitration. So next year...
Yeah, well, Jurko has a deal, so they ate up his arbitration years. So he's not eligible. I know some of their younger guys are going to be getting there really soon. I got to assume, you know, Tommy Pham probably isn't too far off, and neither is Martinez. He's been, you know, he's been up for a few years.
I'll be honest. You know, I think they'll settle arbitration next year with Marcelo Ozuna. But after that, he's a free agent. And being a Boris client, I don't think he'll be coming back to the Cardinals for 2020.
Oh, is he a Boris pet?
Yeah.
Well, who knows? Maybe he learned his lesson watching the way Boris treated his guys this year and got them screwed out of money, and a lot of them are just still sitting out and don't have teams. So.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned Jed Yurko. He's signed through 2020. But, I mean, he's got a pretty favorable deal with only getting paid $9 million this year and $13 million over the next two seasons.
Yeah, and the last season, it said site I got up here says the last club option, 2020. So.
Yeah,
you know,
I didn't even,
who knows
I
if
just,
he'll take, you know.
Yeah, I just picked that one up. It's a $1 million buyout. So, you know, the 2019 season, they could come in and be looking at a lot of different guys. And Colton Wong is locked up through 2020. with another $1 million buyout for 2021. So, you know, like I said, they pretty much have their whole team locked for the next two seasons at most.
Yeah, and interestingly here, they've only got $6 million owed to former players. That seems pretty good compared to what some teams have.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm just really, and I think you and I both really starting to look into the finances of these teams more. But if you remember a couple of years ago, Theo made the comment about the Cardinals being a small market team that gets those compensation picks and whatnot. But I think at the end of the day, what it comes down to is I think they're probably one of the smarter teams when it comes to spending their money. You know, you mentioned they only had $6 million owed to other players. I mean, but even when you go back to the Pujols deal, they weren't ready to jump on over over the 8-year, $240 million contract.
Yeah. Yeah, they were, you know, they knew, you know, something or maybe, you know, whatever they knew. But, yeah, they let him go, and it was definitely the right choice. You know, I know when it happened, a lot of people were like, oh, you know, what are they doing? How can they let him go and this kind of stuff? But, you know, looking back on it, they made the right move.
Well, I mean, you know, maybe they were the ones that everyone should have learned from with dealing with Scott Boras to begin with. Just because he wants you know, lifetime contract, you just don't hand them out like candy on Halloween.
So yeah, you know, and I get it. It's always tough to, you know, deal with these guys, or you know, you want to keep your good players. But yeah, I think at times, you know, you've got to be able to go, look, you know, that's just too much money. You know, we can't tie up, and especially, you know, I don't know how much I believe that St. Louis is small market, you know, so I kind of understand where those teams are coming from. But, you know, yeah, you don't want to get wrapped up in that kind of deal with an aging player because, you know, his numbers have been down. And they're, I mean, how many more years are the Angels still paying him?
I think it's through 2021, maybe.
So, you know, I mean, you know, the Angels are notorious for doing this. I'm willing to bet they're probably still paying Josh Hamilton something. So, you know, that wouldn't surprise me at all with, you know, the way that, you know, that had went. But, yeah, it was, I mean, you know, again, looking back, you're like, man, they knew what they were doing. So. But yeah, and then I know, you know, we did have a minor trade. I know I can't remember. I'm sure it was last week sometime. You and I were kind of talking about the Braves a little bit, and I made the mention that they had acquired Ryan Shrimp from the Padres over the winter, and I, you know, and of course, as soon as I mentioned it, you know, they designate him for assignment. They did find a taker for him though. They made a minor deal with. And I lost it here. Where was it? Okay, I'll have to go this way. I'm trying to remember who, but I believe they got a player by the name of Josh Ravine, or maybe it's pronounced Raven. That would be kind of cool if it was. So yeah, just kind of humorous that the, you know, the day or two after I talk about the guy that they decide to designate him. Oh, actually, excuse me, I got it backwards. It was the Rays, the Braves who acquired Ryan Shrimp from the Rays. The Rays were the team that had him. And it's just, Dan, it's just for the player to be named later, or cash. Josh Raven was the guy the Braves outrighted to make room for Shrimp on the roster. So there you go. Just a little, I'm just a little confused, but at my age, that's understandable.
Yeah, and I was wrong on Pujols' deal. It was a... His agent is Dan Lozano from MVP Sports Group, so not a Boras guy. But it was 10 years at $240 million. So I guess they saved a little bit of money when you think about 8 years at $240
Yeah, not much, but a little bit. So.
No. But I mean, if had they done 8 years, he'd be a free agent after next year. But he's, you know, 27 this year, 28 next year, $29 million in 2020, and then tops it off with $30 million in 2021. So I mean,
wow.
You know, looking at this team's financials, you've got to imagine in the next couple of years when Trout comes up, if they'd even be able to re-sign him.
Well, you know, allegedly they're one of the teams with money. You know, they throw it around like they have it. So, you know, we'll have to see.
But, I mean, he's pretty much there until 2020, Trout, that is. He's got one less year on him than Albert Pujols. So, Albert Pujols will have been there before Trout and after Trout, if all goes to plan.
Oh, but all right. Well, I need your help explaining this one to me, possibly, or maybe you can't explain it. But apparently, John Lester has a new strategy when throwing the ball to first base. Have you heard this one?
He's gonna toss it.
He's going to bounce it to first base because he believes that will solve his problem with throwing over.
Does he have a contract for next year too? Because then next year he could roll it.
Well, here the quote from Lester himself says, "We've been working on the Jordan to Pippen bounce pass." Now, apparently, he tried this. It was either yesterday or 2 days ago on a ground ball hit back to him, and he skipped it by the first baseman. To be fair, it was not Anthony Rizzo. I don't know if that would have made a difference there. It was Navarro, the minor leaguer. So, yeah, I don't know how it's going to work or if it's going to work, but apparently him and Rizzo have actually practiced this. I'm dying to know your feelings on this. I really am, because this is just humorous to me.
Well, you know, my first thought is, well, did he think of that or did Joe Maddon think of that? And then you would say, well, no, Joe Maddon wouldn't think of that. Or maybe he did because his guy, the new pitching coach, is in there. So was this a combination of the two of them coming up with some wacky antics so that at the end of the season, we could have one of those, you know, montage videos of John Lester bounce passing it with one of those, you know, circus style musics in the background.
Yeah, well, in the article here, it said that it was a collaboration between Lester and Cubs third base coach Brian Butterfield.
I mean, I think you do what you want, but when he had David Ross behind the plate, you could try to take advantage of him not being able to throw so well to first base, but him not being able to throw so well to first base didn't guarantee you a stolen base at second when David Ross was there, and it for damn sure doesn't guarantee you a stolen base or safety on first base with Wilson Contreras behind the plate now. So, I mean, to me, I think he should focus on pitching and pitching past the fifth inning, then being more concerned with getting the ball back to first base. I mean, depending on the play, if the ball is going to the first base side, your best bet is to go baseball fundamentals, pick that ball up, and run to first base and underhand toss it.
Yeah, because like I saw the play. I was actually watching the game yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Not a whole lot on. So I actually sat through a spring training game. I saw the play and I was just kind of like, what what the heck is this? And, you know, it was the Arizona announced team, so it was Bob Brenly and those guys. They didn't know anything about it. Yeah, and then it was actually, I mentioned it to Schomburg Stu in an email, and he sent me the link to the, I think it was the Tribune had the story here locally. And it was just like, this is a joke, right? I mean, they're just messing with people here? But, yeah, apparently this is for real.
I mean, do it in spring training, and I think it would, you know, like you said, a joke, kind of give people something to talk about. And not only that, lead teams into believing that that's what John Lester's going to do for maybe the first five starts of his, you know, the 2018 season, and where he doesn't actually do it. But, I mean, it's kind of, it's just kind of too much, too gimmicky for me. You know, maybe not circus music behind this montage of that stuff, you know, the bounce pass to first base. It'll be the Harlem Globetrotters music.
Sweet Georgia Brown?
Yeah. So I don't know. I think, I mean, there wasn't an issue with this, and it wasn't talked about and brought up so much and focused on when he won World Series with the Boston Red Sox. It was something that was brought up, obviously, over the last two seasons with the Cubs. But, I mean, how many times when Grandpa Rossi was there and with Wilson behind the plate did we see these guys taking too big of a lead, getting picked off at first base from behind the plate, or even getting thrown out trying to steal?
They should. So, you know, that's what you need. You need to catch the score, right?
Yeah, and they have so many dumbass analytics for – well, they have so many analytics for even some of the dumbest things. How do you – you can't tell me there's no analytical data that tells you, you know, what the war is, or, you know, the percentage of guys who score because John Lester couldn't pick them off, you know, throw to first base. If there is that, if they even came up with that number, it couldn't be any more than under 10%. It wouldn't even be that much. So I think this is a focus of way too much thought put into something that's so insignificant part of the game. Just use fundamentals. And if you know you can't make it because you're on the mound, don't throw it, because at least you'll have a guy on first better than second or third, depending on what stadium you're in.
Yeah. I think I would understand this maybe a little more if they played on AstroTurf, you know, because you could get a good bounce off AstroTurf, but, you know, to try to do this in, you know, in Wrigley, you know, or any place that has natural grass, which is really just about everywhere now, you just don't know what kind of hop you're going to get or skip or, and, you know, I know Rizzo is an above average defender at first base, but, you know, that's asking a lot out of the guy to be the, you know, basically you're turning it into a goalie.
Pretty much. I mean, and are you going to overhand it, bounce it, or are you going to backhand it, put a little English on it, you know, turn it into a pull game, corner pocket, Anthony Rizzo's glove? By the way, Big Jack, you might like this, not to change the subject too much, but when it comes to drafting, Anthony Rizzo is first baseman and second baseman. So just a little throw that out there for you. But, I mean, I don't know. I think it's way too much time and effort spent into – John Lester not being able to throw so greatly to first base. And I got to pause for like 2 minutes.
Yeah. Well, while Dan takes care of that stuff, we will find another topic to discuss here while he's roaming. You know, one of the big things I've noticed is, you know, there's still a lot of, you know, available quality relief pitchers out there. You know, the one big closer still left, of course, is Greg Holland. But, you know, I mean, baseball has become more than, just a closer now. You know, Dan and I have talked a million times about, you know, it's not like it's, you know, it used to be. You know, you could get a, you know, you could get a starter to come out and go, you know what, you know, 7 innings or 8 innings, and then you turn it over to your closer, and you know, it's all said and done. You know, now there's a big chain link of how to get your guys to the next step or the next level. And it's interesting that some of the guys sitting out here have some pretty good resumes, and you wonder what's left. Now, there's only one lefty really reliever left on the free agent market, and that's Eric O'Flaherty. He is 33. He's had a journeyman type of career, you know, just one of those, you know, one of those kind of things where he's, you know, he's bounced around a little bit. Let me see if I can get his player card up, and we can, you know, we can kind of come off what we've got, going here with them. Sorry, I wasn't really expecting to hunt down Eric O'Flaherty's stats here, but, you know, I know he spent the majority of his time with the Braves. He's pitched, you know, 12 years. He did pitch with the Braves last year, 22 games. A rough season, 7.85 ERA. So you wonder if maybe that's why nobody's taking a look at him. But there are a bunch of complimentary right-handed pitchers still hanging around. And what I mean is, you know, setup guys. You know, Trevor Cahill is still out there. For some reason, I thought he had signed, but I guess not. And he was, you know, I mean, he pitched well enough for the Royals, the Padres, that he got himself dealt. So you wonder, yeah, I mean, he was 4-3, not the best record with San Diego, but he did have a 3.69 ERA and 11 starts. You know, he scuffled a little bit with the Royals after the deal. And you got to wonder if maybe that is holding him back a little bit. But, you know, if you plug him into the bullpen, you know, you're looking at another quality setup guy. He's only 30. Greg Holland is 32. He's still hanging around there. I know Trevor Rosenthal is just 28. But I think he's recovering from Tommy John still. So that could be a little iffy. But you wonder if you could find guys like, you know, Joe Blanton. I know he's 37, but he really found a role as a setup guy. You know, at one point in time, Tyler Clipper was one of the best setup guys in the game. He's just 33. You can say the same thing about Drew Storen, who's just 30. And you just wonder if maybe teams are gonna bring these guys in and take a look and see if they can get them right. I mean, Houston Street is still available. You know, I know he's been injury prone, and that's kind of one of the things you stay away from. But you know, he's great success as a closer. So you just got to wonder if sooner or later, you know, with things winding down, we're going to see these guys brought in and taken a look at. Because I mean, I don't think there's a team in baseball that couldn't use relief help. You know, especially I saw Justin Grimm pitch yesterday, and while he didn't give up any runs, he got himself in trouble every inning by walking guys. So, you know, you got to figure, you know, you just got to find guys who can throw freaking strikes.
Yeah, they like him, though.
Yeah, well, you know, I can understand why. He's got good stuff, but man, he just has so much trouble. You know, to get it, you know, like I think yesterday I saw him, he got the first two guys out real easily, and then I think he gave up a single and walked two guys. And all of a sudden he had the bases loaded with two outs in an inning he could have gotten out of really quickly. And, you know, he had to struggle and battle, and he did get out of it. But, you know, it's just kind of an option of really, dude, this could have been such an easier inning.
Well, I mean, I know they short him up, so I don't know what – I think it was just for this season. So, you know, in seasons past, they would bring him up, he'd do well, and then he'd have like a crappy game. And then the next thing you know, Tommy La Stella is back in the lineup, and you're going, wait, what happened to Justin Grimm?
Yeah, my guy Tommy.
who's getting a lot of playing time over in spring training.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he'll make the team, and I'll get to deal with that, you know, that revolting human garbage again on the roster. So, you know, you know, probably the only guy in baseball who doesn't deserve to wear the uniform after his little outburst a couple years ago from being sent down and actually going home and reporting to AAA, and yet the Cubs were still asinine to bring him back. So, but I, you know, I heard an interesting game on the radio this morning, Dan. I was actually listening to the MLB radio station on SiriusXM, and what they did for teams is they had their, you know, who's their most important player, not so much entitled the best player, but who's their most important player, who's their most important pitcher, and then who's the most overlooked player. And I know since I didn't give you any time to prepare for this, I figured we could start with the Cubs, because I know you know the team really well and it's easier for you. So, you know, if I was to say, you know, Dan, who's the most important player on the Cubs, your answer would be who and why?
Brizzo.
You can only have one.
I mean, it,
so.
Oh, you can't have, but they are one.
Oh, yeah.
One and
no,
one.
No, no, you can only have one.
Oh, shoot. I guess for me, I would go Chris Bryant. Looking at the Cubs organization, I would say Anthony Rizzo. So which one do you want to take?
That's up to you. It's your choice. So
yeah, I guess
you know,
I'll go
I mean,
with
who
Rizzo.
Do you feel, you know, the
he's
most
kind
important
of the cornerstone
of the
team.
So.
I'd say Rizzo. Well, oh, to the team's success going forward or –
just for this year, going into this year, who's the most important? Who's the most important guy going into this year for the team to be successful?
Kyle Schwarber.
So, well, good thing he's trimmed down, huh?
So, yeah.
He looks good. So we're good there. You know. And then yeah, the next one was who's the most, you know, overlooked, but it would be the who's the most underrated player on the team, basically.
Honestly, Jason Hayward.
Yeah, why do you say that?
Because anything he does, nobody is going to expect it if he plays well, and everyone just expects his bat to just be crap. Even though if it weren't for him, Dexter Fowler wouldn't be making $80 million in St. Louis.
Expect him to hit about 400, so, you know. And then, you know, for the, you know, the pitch, you know, for pitching, they do, you know, who's the most important pitcher on the staff?
Oh, it's got to be Yu Darvish. I mean, he was the off-season kind of the number one guy, and after last year, and losing Jake Arrieta, I mean, he's really has to perform for this team to go into the playoffs. And he has to obviously perform in the playoffs for this team to win to be able to compete to win the World Series again.
So, and then, you know, also pitching-wise, who's the most, you know, underrated, overlooked, whichever way you want to describe it? You know, I thought this one was pretty obvious, but I want to see where you go with it.
Yeah, I still think Kyle Hendricks most overlooked. I got to take break number two real quick.
So yeah, I thought that was the most obvious one, being with, you know, Kyle Hendricks there, because he just, no matter what he does, he doesn't seem to get the, you know, the overall goes on with things. You know, but yeah, you know, I heard them playing it today, and I know it takes a while to prepare to do it with a lot of teams, but obviously, you know, Dan being the Cub fan, he follows them, you know, so he knows, you know, what's going on with basically everything they do, so it makes it a little easier for him to associate it here. I don't know if he's keeping up with like the Giants and the Dodgers, you know, maybe he can knock some of those out, but we'll have to see in the next few days if Dan can, Dan can pick up some guys or, you know, see how it works out. But it seemed, you know, it seemed pretty interesting. You know, again, I mean, if you have a team you want us to talk about, or you think somebody's, you know, overlooked, or, you know, the most important guy on your favorite team, you know, email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. We'll gladly talk about it. I mean, we have no problem, you know, listening to doing, you know, doing what you guys want us to do or any of that other fun stuff. So, you know, we'll see how it goes there. But yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any, you know, anything else really, you know, kind of big or kind of interesting going on in baseball. I mean, it's just a lot of the same, you know, apparently the, you know, now it's the Orioles who've reached out to Neil Walker. So we'll see if he gets a contract, you know, nothing on, still nothing on any of the big pitchers. You know, I did see it come across that the Astros decided to waive Anthony Goss or Ghosts. You know, I know he was a Tigers prospect that, you know, just didn't really work out. You know, and I think he actually has tried to do some pitching. So I, you know, I'm not sure. Let me see if I can find it here. Yeah, he, looks like Houston selected him in the Rule 5 draft, from the Rangers. So now that they've placed him on waivers, the Rangers will have the opportunity to take him back. The Astros have to offer him back to the Rangers. So we'll, you know, we'll have to see how, you know, how it works out. You know, and you know, even the article says here, you know, he was a big time, you know, defensive outfielder with a really good arm. But just never hit enough to do anything in the majors, and the Tigers converted him last season. But he, you know, he became a minor league free agent, and the Rangers signed him, and they fully intended on just using him as a reliever. You know, that was going to be their idea. They were actually looking at him humorously. This could be kind of funny. As a, he not only would he be a reliever, but he would be a late inning pinch runner and a defensive replacement in the outfield. So that, you know, that's kind of interesting. We'll have to see if I'm sure the Rangers will probably, you know, reel him back in, and we'll see if or how it goes there. But, you know, just one of those things. But, you know, Dan, since I think you're back there, did you watch the Oscars last night, and how do you feel about Kobe winning an Oscar?
I feel like he owns L.A. if he won an Oscar for, you know, I don't know. I mean, when you think about it, he put in his time and his work into the NBA, so I won't be surprised when he is a first ballot Hall of Famer for the NBA. But for all those people who put in the work over the years to get an Oscar and he beats them out, I'm sure he rubs some few the wrong way, but I don't know. I don't, you know, glorifying a bunch of rich and famous people with trophies. I could care less, you know?
Yeah. I had zero desire to watch it because, you know, my big thing with it is, you know, I've seen some of the movies and all that stuff, but I could care less what your political views are. Just get up there, accept your award and thank everybody and go away.
Yeah.
I don't need you to go on and on about what's going on. But yeah, I was, you know, like I didn't see it, but I was excited to hear he won. You know, he won for an animated short that was based on the poem he wrote after he retired that was entitled Dear Basketball. Now, I haven't seen this, but obviously, you know, when I come across it, I'll definitely be interested to look it up. I'm just kind of wondering, you know, now Kobe, obviously one of the all-time greats, how much is this eating at, you know, the other guys like LeBron James, Michael Jordan, and all those other guys, because they probably have zero chance of ever winning one of these. So, you know, is this just gonna kill them?
No, it just creates more competition for LeBron. I don't think Michael Jordan gives a damn about anybody else but himself, to be honest. You know, take it how you want to take it, but I don't think Jordan cares. I mean, Jordan's been making money longer than Kobe's been alive, and will probably still be making money after Kobe's gone.
Yeah, you know, now, you know, Jordan, obviously, you know, he had Space Jam, which is actually a cute little movie. James himself has appeared in some stuff. You know, he did that, I think it was an Amy Schumer comedy that John Cena, I believe, actually had a decent part in called Trainwreck. I haven't seen that one. You know, and he has executive produced some stuff because, you know, he does have a production company. Should we be surprised now if this is something LeBron wants to shoot for? You think this becomes a competitive nature thing here, and he starts looking for an Oscar?
As far as his like acting work goes, I don't think we'll ever see that. I don't know. To me, you know, all the as I was searching Bing all weekend, and if you search through the Edge, Microsoft Edge app on Bing, you get an extra 20 points like I've been getting, where I actually went to go see Black Panther at AMC for free yesterday because of my gift cards for my points through Bing. Pretty decent movie. I'm sure it won't be up for an Oscar, as, you know, comic book movies don't really go up for Oscars. But that, you know, that's, I guess, the point. My point, Big Jack, is, as I look and search, you know, and see all these things about Oscar movies, Oscar this, Oscar that, do you know, I've not seen a single Oscar-nominated movie probably since Moneyball. I don't know. Was that even Oscar-nominated? I just assume so because Brad Pitt was in it. But, I mean, I go to the movies to be entertained, you know, be it a Marvel or DC. And I'm not a super-duper comic nerd where, you know, they, you know, those guys get, and, you know, I'm not saying you're a comic nerd, you're a nerd, but, you know, kind of just like I'm a baseball nerd, but I don't get into the, you know, the exact, has to be exactly like the comic book kind of stuff, and oh, they did this wrong. I go there to be entertained. I thought Black Panther's thing was a little far-fetched and didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. Even, I mean, the storyline and that stuff, I get it, but I just, of all the comic stuff, I just don't foresee some of the stuff that was going on in that movie really happening. I don't know, whatever. But I guess that's the whole Marvel thing, twist on, you know, what our culture is and the way things are going in this world today and yesterday. But I mean, I go to the movies to be entertained. You know, I like a good comedy, but mostly go to the theater to see 3D movies because I don't have a 3D viewing television at home. And as for the comedies, I'm not really looking to spend, you know, for my wife and I to go $20-some-odd and then, you know, add the extra money for popcorn and a drink, which we just bring our drinks in, but I don't promote that at all. That's wrong. So, I mean, you know, when it comes to the Oscars, Academy Awards, and any of that stuff, I really don't get into it because, you know, I don't care who's the best at faking or pretending.
I did see Get Out. I believe that was nominated for something, but that was a, you know, I'm more of a, you know, horror movie thriller type guy, and that's what that was. So, but yeah, I don't know if it won anything or anything like that. But yeah, the other movies, you know, I would try to watch them, but it's just, you know, that's Schomburg Stew does that for me. I don't have to do that. They're just not my cup of tea. So,
I don't know. It's just, I like action thrillers and just, you know, shoot them up, kill them, maybe. I don't know. I'm an 80s kid, though, so I like a lot of that. I rewatched Back to the Future 1,000 times before I'll go see a new Oscar. I did see A Beautiful Mind, I don't know, like 15 years ago.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I've seen Moneyball and, you know, just about any, you know, sports movie, you know, The Blind Side, even though I know the guy who was actually written about Michael Orr didn't like it. So that's kind of humorous that the movie was an autobiography on his life and he didn't like it. He didn't like the way they changed some things. I don't mind watching those kind of movies. And, you know, The Wrestler was done really well with, you know, Mickey Rourke. They did a nice job of actually portraying the business and how it is and not really trying to glorify it. which I really appreciate. And I don't know if you remember seeing that.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, they could really, you know, you and I know the truth, so they could have really taken that in a whole different direction, you know, and just made it look like,
oh, yeah,
it was the greatest thing in the world. And, you know, if you know, if you're not in WWE, it's not. You know, don't get fooled by that. So, you know, that was, you know, that kind of stuff. But I'm trying to think, you know, some other really good sports movies, but I don't know.
Rookie of the Year? Angels in the Outfield.
Yeah, you know, that was one. I didn't mind the Angels in the Outfield, but I didn't like Rookie of the Year.
Nah, it was, no. I mean, I was a kid, so I liked it then, but it's not something I would really watch again. And, you know, and everyone always says that Bull Durham, however you say it, was one of the greatest baseball movies. I don't know if that's just a obsession with Kevin Costner and the Field of Dreams thing that, you know, kind of all around the same time. But the fact that it, you know, like you said with the wrestler, Bull Durham, I guess, properly portrayed minor league baseball for that era.
Which I do like that movie very much. That is one of my favorite sports movies. So, you know, I know, I think I saw, it might've been 2 weekends ago, that Invincible was on, which is the story of, oh God, Vince, I can't remember his last name, but he ends up making the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, I think he played about 2 or 3 years in the NFL, actually made the team. It's based on a true story. You know, that's not too bad, I think, as far as, you know, sports movies go. And I did see the end of Blue Chips today. I love the interview at the end of Blue Chips. When, you know, Nick
that's
Nolte
the movie.
When Nick Nolte is freaking out about their NCAA violations. And my favorite part is he's like, you know, I never thought I could say it. I never thought I'd hear these two words come out of my mouth. And then he's like, I quit. He just walks away.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's all, you know, that's always, you know, that you know, that's one of the better ones. Trying to think what else, you know, like we mentioned, you know, Moneyball, you know, Friday Night Lights, you know, the football movie that actually led into the television series is, you know, another one of the better ones. And I, you know, I love all the Major League movies because I think they're funny. So,
yeah. Even the third one?
Even Major League. Yeah, even Major League Back to the Minors, I can still, you know, still dig in. And I know, you know, I'd be remiss, you know, I know my friend Matt Monroe, who listens to us from time to time, except I think it's basketball season now, so he's too busy. He loves the Hoosier movie. Gene Hackman, Dennis Hopper, and the small-town basketball team. He loves that movie, so... you know, but yeah, I mean, I could, you know, I could probably keep going. You know, have you seen League of Your Own, Dan? Do you like the women baseball movie?
Oh yeah. I mean, it still kills me to this day. My wife doesn't even know what the hell it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, how are you a girl? How are you? Then you did not see this movie. I don't know. It's a baseball movie. I'm like, oh, yeah, go figure. That's one of my all time favorites up there too. And, you know, I think the story, the whole thing, you know, I mean,
yeah.
From that day on, anytime I saw Alfonso Soriano, all I could see what they was, don't swing at the high one, you know, and then in my mind, I would hear back, but I like the high ones, you know, so.
Now, I did find this list, Dan, according to Movie Phone, of the 101 best sports movies. And I think I have a problem with one of their choices here. I'm not sure if I considered this a sports movie, but I guess maybe it is. They have The Karate Kid on this list. Do you buy that as a sports movie?
Not really. I mean, I guess considering competition was the name, you know, at the end game of the movie, so it's considerably a sports movie. I mean, if you went for two or three, well, the one with Hilary Swank, you can kind of, I guess you wouldn't put up there with the greatest movies anyways. But you know, the end game is a competition, and he wins the competition. So technically it's a sports movie.
Yeah, I don't know. I think The Karate Kid being a sports movie is like Die Hard being a Christmas movie. I just, I don't think they relate. But now, have you seen they're making a new one? They're continuing
Die
the
Hard?
Karate Kid saga? No, The Karate Kid saga. It's already about 15
well,
Die
they,
Hard movies.
They,
I don't think they can make it.
Yeah. No, they already, they started with Will Smith's weird kid. I forgot that kid's name.
Yeah.
They did that one.
Well, no, they're actually doing
him.
They did the remake with him and Jackie Chan, but they're actually doing a new one continuing the storyline with Daniel and Johnny.
Yes.
I believe it's I believe the movie's gonna be called Cobra Kai. And
it's actually not a movie.
Oh, I thought it was a movie.
It's actually not a movie. No. This is what's going to make you buy YouTube Red. YouTube streaming service. But, yeah, this is YouTube Red's first original series, I guess it is. And, I mean, I'm intrigued. Yeah, just for one damn show. You're going to do it. You know it. Because I'm super intrigued into watching this. And, you know, I thought he and Johnny kind of fixed things at the end and, you know, when he handed him the trophy and everything was all good. Honk, honk. you've had to see that movie to know what I'm talking about right there. But I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be pretty, pretty stellar. I just hope that maybe they can get some of the old Cobra Kai guys to make some cameos.
Yes. Only if the one guy says, put him in a body bag. Oh, but yeah, you know, and then, you know, like while we're on sports movies, you know, the one sports movie I used to really enjoy was Rudy. Until I heard the Joe Montana interview, who was actually on the team and basically explained that it didn't go anywhere close to how the movie went. And then the guy who it's based on, Daniel, his name's Daniel, his nickname's Rudy, his last name's like Rudniger, something like that. Ended up getting arrested for some kind of money laundering or fraud like that. So that movie's pretty much been totally ruined for me as a movie goes. So,
well, I mean, was it Rudy just the Notre Dame version of Lucas? Is that the name of the movie? Going with like Corey. Corey Haim.
There's so many movies like that out there. This one was just based at Notre Dame. Just kind of
based on a true story.
Well,
which part of the story is true?
No, the advantage they have is it is actually based on a true story. So, you know, and of course, I know, Dan, your favorite sports movie is still White Men Can't Jump. So it's okay. So.
Billy Ho.
I always get a kick out of that movie when I see it on. So I'll always watch a little bit of it.
That was Rosie Perez's breakout.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. The music means Dan and I are going to take off. But hey, we'll come back tomorrow at 5:30 to do it all again. While we're away, though, you know what to do. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget about that Twitter feed at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well if you want to hunt us down. But, you know, we'll see how that goes. But, hey, as always, thanks for listening live. We appreciate that. Don't forget, though, the podcast is available for you anytime you want to go listen to it at tunein.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.